Hello, everybody. This is Dan Trotter, Pretty Good Bible Studies. I am now in Numbers chapter 34. We're going to cover verses 1 through 29, which will give us the boundaries of the nation of Israel, Canaan land, as also the individual boundaries of the 12 tribes. Our context is this. In our previous chapter, we see a recounting of Israel's journey from the beginning of the Exodus, and at the very end, we see God telling Moses to tell Israel to drive out the Canaanites, Israel, when you cross over into the promised land. So we'll start now in Numbers 34. This chapter is a little bit different because it has lots and lots of geographical names. I'm not going to go over them all. We'll start with verses 1 through 12, which cover the boundaries of Israel as a whole. Now, I'm not going to read all these boundaries to you. Let me just give you the introduction here. Verse 1, Numbers 34, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command the sons of Israel and say to them, when you enter the land of Canaan, this is the land that shall fall to you as an inheritance, even the land of Canaan according to its borders. And then the borders are described. Verse 3, your southern sector shall extend from the wilderness of Zin along the side of Edom, and your southern border shall extend from the Salt Sea eastward. Then your border shall turn direction from the south to the descent of Akrabim and continue to Zin. Well, we start out with Edom and Salt Sea, the Dead Sea, so that's easy, but then there's a lot of these other places in here that some people have never heard of. And so this is what Adam Clark says about this border description. Quote, all description here is useless. The situation and boundaries of the land of Canaan can only be known by actual survey or by consulting a good map. So we're not going to go through the boundaries here. We're just going to depend on the maps, and I always depend on BibleAtlas.org for my maps. Now, these borders are the boundaries of Western Israel, not the Transjordan area to the east of the Jordan River, where Reuben and Gad and half Manasseh were, eastern half of Manasseh. This is only for the western part. Now, Jameson Fawcett and Brown says that the land that is described in verses 1 through 12, Israel never actually possessed it. They never possessed all the territory listed, as Jameson Fawcett and Brown says. Even when the boundaries were extended by the conquest of David and Solomon. Now, I have a problem with that because in Joshua 21:43, we read this. So the Lord gave Israel all the land which he had sworn to give to their fathers, and they possessed in it and lived in it. Now realize all can be somewhat ambiguous in theology, but it sounds like the Lord gave Israel all the land which he had sworn to give to their fathers, and they possessed it and lived in it. It sounds like Israel got all the land that was mentioned here. Now, of course, this is not just an academic issue. It's part of a huge dispensationalist versus non-dispensationalist theological controversy. Because if the land was never fully possessed, that leaves open the possibility that all the land promises in the Old Testament can be fulfilled later in the future, either by present-day Israel or some future geopolitical nation called Israel. Whereas non-dispensationalists say all this land stuff is a type, the antitype of which is the church, and we shouldn't be looking for a future fulfillment of the land of Israel. I hold to the latter view, but that, of course, is a huge theological chestnut, which we can chew on at other times. Right now, we just need to go through the 34th chapter of Numbers. So, let's drop down to verses 13 through 29 of chapter 34, and here we will see the boundaries of the individual tribes. Verse 13, starting there. So Moses commanded the sons of Israel, saying, this is the land that you are to apportion by lot among you as a possession, which the Lord has commanded to give to the 9.5 tribes. 9.5 because 2.5 are on the eastern side, Reuben, Gad, and half Manasseh. That leaves, well, if you add those 2.5 to these 9.5, 2.5 plus 9.5 is 12. And that's not exactly, we have to be careful there. That's 12 tribes, but Manasseh is double counted because they're on the east and the west. But then you've got to, that would tend to make it be 13 tribes, but then you got to knock Levi out because they didn't have an apportionment. I'll talk more about the number of the tribes later. So, but this 9.5 tribes is talking about all the tribes except for Reuben, Gad, and East Manasseh. Just to make sure my numbering is right, I'm going to read from this great map I have here. The 9.5 tribes to the west of the Jordan. Asher number 1, going from north to south. Asher number 1, Naphtali, number 2, Zebulun, number 3, Issachar, number 4, half Manasseh, 4.5, Ephraim, 5.5, Dan, 6.5, Judah, or Benjamin, 7.5, Judah, 8.5, Simeon, 9.5. There's your 9.5 tribes, and the 2.5 that are on the eastern side of the Jordan River are Reuben, Gad, and half Manasseh. That's 2.5. So if you add 2.5 to 9.5, you get 12, but Manasseh is double counted, so that gives you 11. And then, of course, Levi doesn't have a tribal area, as we'll see in the next chapter. They don't get a tribal area. So that explains all the numbering of 9.5 tribes. Now, Adam Clark points out that the land of Israel is particularly well situated because in the north, Israel was screened from cold northern blasts by Mount Libanus, the Lebanon and anti-Lebanon range. From the south, Israel was screened by a ridge of mountains that stopped the burning winds that came from Arabia. From the east, Israel was bordered by the Jordan River, which had fertile, well-watered plains. And from the west, Israel was protected by the Mediterranean Sea. So not only was its produce worthy to make Israel called a land of milk and honey, but also its geographical situation was great. Let's read how nice the promised land was in Deuteronomy 8, verses 7 through 9. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing forth in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where you will eat food without scarcity, in which you will not lack anything, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper, minerals, food, vegetation, water, and so forth. It's a great place. So this is a good inheritance the Israelites are getting. Now notice in verse 13, the tribal distributions were going to be done by lot. Now the advantage of that is that all excuses for contention over who gets what land are done away with, and that's why God did it by lot. Now I'm going to ask a question here when we start seeing how the land is distributed. Was the land distributed according to the tribe's fraternal relationship? In other words, Judah and Simeon, they were brothers. They were sons of Leah, so they got their land together and so forth. Clark and Jameson Fawcett Brown say yes. Jameson Fawcett Brown say it's according to their brotherly connections, who their brother's with. Well, if that's so, and we'll look at that a little bit in more detail in a minute, but if that's so, how does that square with using a lot? Did, when they used the lot, which of course is controlled by God, did it come up with where the brothers were living together? Ephraim and Manasseh are right together. They're brothers. Judah and Simeon are together. I don't know. That's an interesting question. But I do know that it was done by lot and God controls the lot. We're not going to fight over who gets what, God says. We're going to let God decide it with a lot. Now this, of course, is referring to the western land, to the west of the Jordan, not the eastern lands. Verse 14, for the tribe of the sons of Reuben have received theirs according to their fathers' households, and the tribe of the sons of Gad according to their fathers' households, and the half-tribe of Manasseh have received their possession. That's referring to Reuben, Gad, and half-Manasseh to the east. They've already had theirs. They've already gotten their possession. They've already made the deal in a couple chapters ago, so we're not going to mess with them. This is just for the 9.5 tribes on the west. Verse 15, the 2.5 tribes have received their possession across the Jordan opposite Jericho, eastward towards the sun rising. Verse 16, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, these are the names of the men who shall apportion the land to you for inheritance. Eleazar the priest, he's the high priest. He's the surviving high priest, the surviving son of the oldest, the surviving son of Aaron, who has died previous to this speech by Moses. He's already died. He's been buried on Mount Hor, if you recall. So Eleazar is now the high priest in Aaron's absence. He's the chief religious officer, and then Joshua the son of Nun is going to help him. He's the chief military guy. Of course, Moses is going to be dead by the time they get across the Jordan River, so he can't help in the distribution of land. But Eleazar, the religious leader, and Joshua the military leader will do so. Verse 18, Numbers 34, God continues with Moses, you shall take one leader of every tribe to apportion the land for inheritance. And I'm not going to read you verses 19 through 29, where the leaders of the 12 tribes, or the 9.5 tribes, 10 leaders are appointed, and you count these leaders, they are 10. That's 9.5. Remember, Manasseh is, he gets a leader too. And the western Manasseh gets a leader, so that makes 10. 9.5 rounded up goes up to 10. Caleb is mentioned in verse 19. He, of course, is the famous Caleb of Joshua and Caleb, the two spies who did not believe the bad report, who did not give the people a bad report, and therefore were allowed to enter the promised land, even though all the other people in that generation died in the wilderness. They were the exceptions. Now, some people have made an interesting observation about the order of the tribes that are listed. Judah is first, then Simeon is next. If you look at the order, the order of the tribes is given in exact the order of the conquest of Israel. They crossed the Jordan River right there in the south, right across from Jerusalem, where Judah is. And Simeon was had land scattered all the way, all out through Judah. So that's the south, and then it goes straight north, all the way up north, which is presumably how, well, it's not presumably, it's how the Israelites conquered the land, going from south to north. So we start out in verse 19 with Judah, and then Simeon. As I say, these are the southern two-most tribes. Judah is listed before Simeon because Judah was more prominent. Simeon's lands were scattered and not contiguous there in the land of Judah and the tribe of Judah. Then we go north. Benjamin is right north of Judah. Then we go north of that. We got Dan. And then we got Ephraim and Manasseh, or Manasseh and Ephraim. Still going north. Next, we have Zebulun. And then we got Issachar. And then we got Naphtali. And all of that, if you look at a map, is going straight south to north. Now, when I say straight to north, Dan, of course, had two distributions, but the original distribution, he was in the south, right to the west of Ephraim. So that's kind of interesting. The apportionment was going from south to north, and is another interesting thing. Well, first of all, we can say that the listing of the tribes in that order accorded with the geographical thrust that the Israelites accomplished as they went from south to north, but there are other list of leaders of the tribes. There was one at the first census in Numbers 1:1. There was one at Numbers 7:1 when the altar was dedicated. There was a list of the tribal leaders at number 26, verse 1, starting with verse 1, at the second census, and those orders are different. Well, this is why, because we're going in geographical order. Now, Adam Clark and Jameson Fawcett Brown say that the order was also done according to brotherly connections. For example, Judah and Simeon in the south, they were the sons of Leah, and they were brothers. Then Benjamin and Dan are together. Dan is right to the west of Benjamin. They were the son of Rachel's maid, Bilhah. We go a little bit further north, and we get Manasseh and Ephraim. Well, we get, I should say, if you go east of Dan, you got Ephraim, then go straight north of Ephraim, you got Manasseh. So Manasseh and Ephraim are contiguous south to north. They were both sons of Joseph. Then you go a little bit further north, Zebulun and Issachar, the two little tribes that are right there to the northeastern border of Manasseh, they're together, and they were the sons of Leah. Now we go a little bit further north, and we get Asher and Naphtali, the two northernmost tribes, Asher on the Mediterranean coast, Naphtali to the east of Asher. Asher was the son of Leah's maid Zilpah, and Naphtali was the son of Rachel's maid Bilhah. Now, that doesn't fit that brotherly connection so good because they were the sons of two different concubines, but the rest fits pretty good. Now, all this is very interesting, but I keep asking the question. It was decided by lot, and it came up this way. It's very interesting. Here's a possible suggestion here. Perhaps the leaders agreed on distributing the land according to brotherly connections as they went from south to north, but they just decided on the general area that the brothers were going to take, but then they had to draw a lot as to say, well, now you're going to take this from this river to this rock, from this tree to this creek, draw the lot to get to more particularly determine the boundaries. I don't know. It's an interesting question. Now, all this apportionment was commanded to be done here in Numbers 34. It was carried out in Joshua 19, verse 51. These are the inheritances which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the households of the tribes of the sons of Israel distributed by lot in Shiloh before the Lord at the doorway of the tent of meeting. So they finished dividing the land. So this division of the land was accomplished in Shiloh, a particular place in Israel on the eastern side after they crossed. That's immediately after they crossed the Jordan River. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we are now finished with the division of the land for the tribes. We are now ready to launch onward into Numbers chapter 35, 1 through 34. which will discuss the cities for the Levites, because they didn't get any tribal division of the land. They didn't have a tribe for them, but they had cities scattered throughout Israel. And then also the famous six cities of refuge for the manslayer, where he could go hide himself from blood avengers if he accidentally killed somebody. So we'll see that in our next audio. I hope you stay tuned for that one, and hope you enjoyed this one.